الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وعاشروهن بالمعروف صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders and our mothers and sisters listening at home over the receiver, since there will be a nikah taking place here today, inshallah, and it is long since we had a bayan on nikah, I have decided to share a few advices from the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the couple that will be getting married, and of course to all of us in general. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran has mentioned in various verses and various surahs, ayat or verses indicating and speaking and expounding about His oneness, His greatness, the fact that He has no partners and everything is in His control and He is the most powerful. In one particular surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions six verses, one after the other. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ تُرَابٍ ثُمَّ إِذَا أَنْتُمْ بَشَرٌ تَنْتَشِرُونَ. This is the very first verse Allah mentioned. Allah talks about the fact that you and I, who are the children of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, our father Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was created from dust. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the system of procreation, the system of nikah, which is the only hygienic, lawful, correct institution of procreation. Nikah is a fortress. Any other way of satisfying one's desire or of procreation, which is beyond that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed as the institution of nikah, and which is a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a very sacred sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, any person who goes beyond this fortress, and that is totally impermissible. It is haram. That is not a hygienic way of life. It is a filthy, a morbid way of life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentioned the second verse, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا. That Allah, out of His signs, Allah is showing us His oneness, His tawheed, His power, الدلائل, those proofs, الدَّالَّة, which indicate ala قُدْرَتِهِ subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second sign Allah talks about, that Allah has created from you, O man, partners, spouses, from the same jinns, from the same species. Man does not get married to an animal. Although we have found instances in the past, articles where a man gets married to a dog. May Allah protect us. Islam is so pure, so beautiful, so clean. So Allah has chosen that from our own species, a man gets married to a woman. A man gets married to a woman. And Allah says, لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا, so that you may dwell in her with tranquility. Allah addresses the men, that Allah has created partners for you, and so that you may live with sukoon. لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. We don't have the time to delve into the meaning of sukoon, and where sakana comes in the Quran in various places. But here, so that you may live with her with peace and tranquility. وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. And this is what Allah says. And Allah has created between husband and wife, mawadda, love, mutual love, rahmah, mercy, compassion. In order to maintain this mutual relationship, after this nikah takes place, and what is nikah? It is an aqd. It is a contract, a social agreement. It is a contract, a very sacred contract which I have explained. Then there are responsibilities that the husband has to shoulder, the wife has to shoulder. And without fulfilling these responsibilities, then we are not going to have a blissful marriage. My respected brothers and elders, with due respect, if we ponder over the verses of the Quran and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we ponder and reflect with sincerity, our ulama have been advising on nikah, not from now, from years on end. The problem is that we do not take these advices seriously. We call the mufti and we call the qari to begin our functions, and he will recite a qira'ah, and we'll have somebody to give a talk. But are we so sincere in imbibing those advices of Quran and Sunnah? Do we really need so many marital workshops and conferences today? Why have we drifted from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And look into the seerah. We talk about seerah, we talk about Quran, we talk about sunnah. But let us follow this beautiful way of life. And the amazing examples of the love Rasulullah sallallahu showed his wives. The Nabi of Allah, despite his great responsibilities, being a Nabi, being a da'i, being a mujahid, being a muallim, a mudarris, a zakir, seeing to the needs of the woman, the poor, the orphans, delegations would come to him. Day and night he is busy. Besides the ibadat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where his feet would swell. Despite all this, he never ever shirked in his responsibilities towards his wives. He actually found an occasion where he would run a race with Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha. He found that time in privacy, where nobody else was there. And I have to mention this because people use these proofs in an incorrect way, and they say now it's permissible to go jogging with your wife. In privacy, he ran races with Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. In Bukhari, there's an incident where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he used to go undertake journeys, then because he had several wives, then he would draw lots, and if his name would come out, then he would take those wives, one or two of them, and they would accompany him on a journey. And one particular instance where it is mentioned in Bukhari Sharif, that the name of Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha and the name of Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala anha, both these names emerged, and so they accompanied Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we know the caravan of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the string of camels, such a large group, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is traveling with the Sahaba. So Sayyidina Aisha and Sayyidina Hafsa were not all the time together, and the camels were different also, the sizes of the camels, the height of the camel, and sometimes Sayyidina Hafsa is on one side and Sayyidina Aisha on the other side. But Sayyidina Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala, she noticed and she observed that as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa the end of the day at night, when night fell, then he came alongside Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha's camel, and he made salam to her. She replied the salam, and after some time they dismounted from their camel and they both walked together and they both began to talk and converse. Now look at this. In this journey, Rasulullah is still considerate of his wife. And of course, he was absolutely just with every single wife of his. It is mentioned, Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma mentions, and Imam Qurtubi also indicates to this, and many other scholars, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it was his ma'mool, After Fajr Salah, he would sit on the place on his musalla till the sun would rise, Hasna, very bright. It was time for Ishraq. He would perform his Ishraq. And then he would make it his duty on a daily basis to visit each one of his wives. And he would make salam to them and he would supplicate and make dua for them. And then he would remain in the home in whichever wife's turn it was on that particular day. She was absolutely fair. But yes, when it comes to love, as you mentioned when we did the surah Yusuf tafsir in Ramadan, that when it comes to love, that is something beyond a person's control. As far as expenditure and as far as giving them their days and turns, everything he was fair. But the love he had for Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala was more. So at night now he began to converse and talk. Sayyidina Hafsa observes this. So she thinks of a plan. And she goes to Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. And she says, Aisha, why don't we exchange camels? Perhaps when you're on my side riding my camel, you may see things that you haven't seen whilst you are riding on that section. And maybe I can ride on your camel and see some of the scenery. تَنْظُرِينَ مَا أَنْظُرُ. So you could see what I can see and I may see that which you are seeing. So innocently she agrees. And so Sayyidina Hafsa radiallahu anha is riding the camel at nightfall. Rasulullah comes right next to her camel. And perhaps obviously thinking this is Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha, the camel, he makes salam. But he realizes it is Hafsa radiallahu anha. She replies, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not chase her away. He did not inquire that what has happened. Why are you riding the camel of Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha? They both dismount and exactly like how he did for Sayyidina Aisha, he begins to walk with Sayyidina Hafsa and they begin to converse. When Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha observes this, she rubs her feet on the grass and she even desires that a scorpion or a serpent may bite her at that time, because this was the so-called jealousy that they had for a co-wife. Imagine being the husband or being the wife of none other than Rasulullah ﷺ, and they had this self-possessive nature. They wanted Rasulullah ﷺ fully for themselves. And she said, Ya Allah, Allahumma, oh my Allah, but I cannot complain against Rasulullah ﷺ. He is your Nabi. But the point here that Rasulullah ﷺ found the time. He made the time. And this is quality time to spend with his wives. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed them genuine love. So loyal was he that even after the demise of Sayyidina Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, he would still talk about her. And he would praise her. Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, in one narration, she says, I could not bear it any longer. And she even mentioned, remarked, that old woman who had no teeth. Sayyidina Aisha says, I had not even seen Khadija radiallahu anha because I was very little. Khadija was much more older in Makkah. Yet I became envious of her because Rasulullah would mention her name in abundance and praise her. So one day I could not bear it any longer. Ya Rasulullah, as though you've got no other wives. It's only Khadija, Khadija. Rasulullah, the color of his face changed. Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha realizes and he says, Oh my Aisha, Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, yes, she stood by me or she believed in me when everybody disbelieved in me, rejected me. She supported me when everybody abandoned me. And she bore my children. He would actually sacrifice some animal and distribute the meat of the animal to the friends of Khadija living long after her demise in Madinah Munawwara. This was the loyalty he had. Perhaps today, if the first wife passes away, the man is married to the second wife, he might only talk about the weaknesses of his first wife. Rasulullah was so loving, so caring. When he would come into the home, he would even sweep the house. He would help in the chores of the home. It's a point not only for the bridegroom, for all of us who are married. What are our responsibilities? Rasulullah mentioned that you feed your wife when you eat, you clothe her when you are wearing clothing, and you go to see to her medication when she is sick. Unfortunately, we become abusive. It is so common today, so common, so common. It's not only physical abuse, It's mental torture. We don't appreciate what the wives do for us. A little bit of excess salt in the curry, and we make a silly remark like, there was some special in mackerel today. Salt was going on sale. The bride is new. She has made a sacrifice. She has left the precincts of her home, her parents, her uncles, her family members. And perhaps she's even traveling far away. Sometimes she leaves her country. She goes abroad. It's a great sacrifice. She has to get used to a new environment, a new family. She doesn't know any one of them. She's got no other relatives living there. She has to make some adjustments. And then if we're going to remark, your food is not like my mother's. My mother puts this in the food, and she does this, and she cuts the onions and potatoes and tomatoes like this. This is not the sunnah of Rasulullah. He was caring. He was loving. He would defend his wives. Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, one occasion, as they live as husband and wife, and we know sometimes there's some differences, so she raised her voice above that of Rasulullah. She had become a bit upset. At that very moment, her beloved father, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, happens to enter her house. And he sees that his daughter is behaving in this manner. Immediately he goes towards her, and he's about to raise his hand to strike her, when Rasulullah defends her. And he puts her on one side, and Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq leaves the home. After a few days, he comes back, and everybody's laughing and happy. And he says, Adkhilani fi silmikuma. Now enter me in your peace, like how you had entered me when you were at war. Rasulullah, when Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq left the home at the first time, he said, how I defended you from the man, how I saved you. This was the love, the tolerance he had. He was so considerate of his wives. Hazrat Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala anha happened to make some remark against Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha, in which she called her a daughter of a Jew. Her father was a Jew initially, and she had embraced Islam. So Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala on some matter happened to blurt out this. When this news reached Rasulullah, he became extremely annoyed, extremely upset. He was considerate of the feelings of all his wives. On one occasion, he's traveling. Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha, she falls off her camel and she begins to cry. She is weeping. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes to Safiya radiallahu ta'ala. Can we just imagine the Nabi of Allah? You and I traveling with our friends. And if the person is a big sheikh, he's got all his murids with him. If he's a great scholar and he's got all his students with him, and something happens and he'll make a bigger noise. Can't you ride properly? Can't you see where you're walking? No. Rasam goes forward. He actually wipes the tears off the face of Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha. He kneels down. He consoles her and he allows her to place her leg onto his lap, and so that she may mount again onto the camel. We have to appreciate the work, the time, our wives, and the efforts of our wives. They make a sacrifice in so many instances. They are actually looking after our parents. They take care of our parents without any complaints. When we go home after a heavy day's work, the food is ready. Our clothes are washed, they are ironed already. So this is where we require to appreciate our wives. And to be able to appreciate our wives, to be able to show the true akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is when we require taqwa. Look at any ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Month of Ramadan, we heard the verse, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, kutiba alaykum as-siyam, kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqoon. When it comes to nikah, in the khutbah, you will hear three different verses all pertaining to taqwa. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَأَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. Taqwa, taqwa, taqwa. When it comes to Hajj, وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. Again, it's taqwa. Come to Qurbani, لَيَّنَالَ اللَّهَ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا وَلَكِي يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. when it comes to business dealings, when running out the business dealings, وَلْيُمْلِ لِلَّذِي عَلِي الْحَقِّ وَلْيَتَّقِ اللَّهَ رَبَّهُ. Again, when it comes to nikah, taqwa. When it comes to talaq also, verses on taqwa. Allah reminds us that even when you're giving your wife talaq, after a person exerted all the proper means and channels to maintain that relationship, and for some reason it does not work, not the man just gets married, and it is so common today, so common. And as I mentioned in the beginning, it's not the amount, number of conferences a person attends, no. It's a person has to be sincere and realize that he is entering into a social contract for life. And he has to have the teachings of taqwa, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sunnah, the hadith of Rasulullah. أي أكمل المؤمنين إيمانا أحسنهم خلقا. The one who has the most perfect iman is the one who is best in character. وخياركم خياركم لنسائهم. And the best of you is the best of you who is kind, the one who is kind to his wives. Narrated by Imam Tirmidhi, وقال حديث حسن صحيح. Imam Tirmidhi rahmatullah has mentioned, and the narrator says in Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala an, لا يفرك مؤمن مؤمنة إن كره منها خلقا إن رضي منها إن خرق إن كره منها خلقا رضي بها آخر. Imam Muslim rahmatullah has narrated this narration that if a husband has to find one weakness, one trait, one poor quality of his wife, then he should search for a good quality. Look for the good in your wife. Appreciate your wife. Praise her. Today with our social media, we praise the whole world. Any other person who is close to us, associate our friends, we will go to town and we praise the person. When last did we praise our wives? Give them their privacy. Before nikah, many big promises, huge promises are made. We will do this for you. We will give you that. You'll have your privacy. But when the person gets married, everything is different. Everything is different. The mother-in-law enters the daughter-in-law's room. She opens the cupboards. She does as she wants. Where's the privacy of the wife? I'm not advocating that she should live separately. Live with muhabbat. But the alliance that one should not overstep. Because all these little things become an issue. And then we run from one scholar to another scholar. And then we are looking and searching for solutions. Whereas the solution is there in the sunnah of Rasulullah. Give them the privacy. And of course I mentioned the love, the affection, the warmth. You know when Rasulullah came, from when the very first verses were revealed, and in Hira, and he came running to his family. Who was it to console him? Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha. إِنَّكَ لَتَصِلُ رَحِيمٌ وتحمل الكل وتكسب المعدوم وتقري الضيف وتعين على نوائب الحق. We don't have time to go into the detail, but she consoled him and she said, "Allah, wallahi la yukhzik Allah abada. Allah will never let you just be destroyed. Allah will never humiliate you. Allah will never disgrace you." And in most important, and of course we're addressing the men folk, although the women are listening, we do address them about the husband's rights on other occasions. Very common, the person gets married and then shaitan begins to seduce him and take him away from his lawful wife towards an extramarital relationship with others. Very common. May Allah protect us. May Allah bless us. The husband and wife, the couple who get married today, and all of the nikahs that have taken place, are taking place, will take place. May Allah create that unity, the muhabbat, the mawadda and rahmah. Just as a parting advice, that many times a person gets married and his friends accompany him. Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala narration is mentioned in Hayatul Sahaba, where after nikah, his friends, they were traveling with him and they were leaving him and going with him to the home of his in-laws where his wife was, and he came to the door and he turned around. He said, "Irji'u, now you go back. May Allah bless you. May Allah reward you for accompanying me. Now it is my life, my privacy, and you may return." And then various other things that transpired. But then it is mentioned the next day when his friends asked him, "How was your wife? How did things go last night?" And he explained to them that this is a hijab, a parda, sutur, which Allah Ta'ala has kept. It is not correct. In fact, in the hadith of Rasulullah,
Inna min asharri nasi manzilatan 'inda Allah.
The worst of person in the eyes of Allah is that person that when he gets married, or that person who has a relationship with his wife, and then in the morning he goes and he broadcasts that to the entire public. That's a private life. And then he mentioned a narration, which is mentioned in Hayatul Sahaba, and he said, Rasulullah had mentioned, the time will come when people would indulge in their relationships openly in public. And he has likened them to animals or mules or donkeys who copulate in the open. Animals don't have intelligence, they don't have the intellect. They don't know what is modesty and haya and sharam. And therefore, these are private matters we should keep between husband and wife. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat to fulfill each other's rights. May Allah create peace and muhabbat amongst families and amongst the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.